Well, that's Chucho Valdez and his band, the Afro-Cuban Jazz Messengers, with a nifty little tune called Yanza. It's from his 2010 album, Chucho's Steps. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead. And yes, we're a glutton for punishment. We keep talking about the subject or around it in some way or the other, involving Donald Trump and the current craziness going on in our political lives, but it keeps getting worse, and that's why we keep talking about it. And it gets worse in an almost irretrievable way. How do we fix this? Every single day, there is something that we can expect will be the disaster of the day. And it seems as if democracy has gone to hell. And all we can do is to stand by, wait for the next disaster, and we are unable to do anything that can influence this change that we so desperately need. And while they continue to fight about everything, and like children, I mean, this is not even you wouldn't feel so badly if they're fighting and they're getting somewhere, or they're fighting about substantive things. They're just fighting. And it is bewildering that these people, with all these years of experience, and on whom we depend for guidance, and who have the task of maintaining an even keel—that's one of the main jobs of government—to not get people startled. Sorry, don't get them all despondent. Because they see you are totally unable to fix things, and yet you're elected to fix things, and you're the only ones who can fix things. And we have no way of intervening. It's as if they're stoking a major blowout in this country. They want an internal war. I mean, a lot of this that they're confronted with, that we are confronted with, a lot of this is common sense. And no surprise. We see these things coming down the pike. It's no surprise that in a government you will have people arguing. That's fine. They don't know how to do that. They don't know how to argue. They don't know how to cooperate. You have a president who is carnivorous and mean and lacking in qualifications and knowledge. He can't possibly be looked at as a leader. Nobody respects him. And he is waging his own private war because I think he's sick. And they're standing by saying, well, he's not doing But nobody has yet come out to say, well, that's not right. That's not right to say. Because we do have some movement in that direction. People are now saying it. That there needs to be an examination of the president, and they better get to it fast because he is the head of state, he is the commander in chief, and they put him there. The Republican Party put him there, the voters, the people put him there, and each day, it goes down and down and down and down till finally it will hit the dust. And as a deliberate act, This president doesn't even have the common sense, the humility to say, I am the symbol of power in this country and of this country. We have got to get this thing together and work something out, because they are calling for people to take leadership into their own hands. That will never work out right. But that's apparently what they want. And what about those of us who see the need to take an entirely different approach because the situation is scary? So we have to start saying it publicly. The president needs a psychiatric evaluation. He is unstable. And it's the same way you do not leave a kid alone with a bunch of matches. That's where we are. Our leadership has come down to that. Somebody has to watch the president. The people have already watched him, and have concluded that some major intervention has to be done. We cannot continue this way. We are in serious danger right now, and I'm not being an alarmist here. They've covered this up for years, but he's elected now. At least symbolically, he's the president of the United States. But this goes beyond symbolism. We have an unstable man who has the power to destroy this and other countries. And I believe that we're closer to that than we know. So we can't say, well, this is their job, and then pull back from that. This is the awful part. We have to do something. What is that something? What power do we really have? And this is when we know the extreme limits to what we call our democracy. We have somebody who has put us on a tinderbox, and now we live as a nation with that apprehension and depression and outrage every day, because we are forced to live with this without having any other recourse, because those people who can initiate action, credible action, aren't doing it. This is why I got out of the Democratic Party. I feel parties, period, are an impediment to our progress. It should be very clearly, if the people are very upset with this president, initiate action that will question his authority and power. At least do that as a body. It doesn't matter whether you're Republican or Democrat. Does it make a difference if a Democratic president or a Republican president causes total ruin for the country? Does that make a difference? You want competence. You want capable people. That's what he says he wants. And if those are the qualities he's looking for, and look what has happened to successive changes, switches, and switching out to find a cabinet that he likes. He's had no problem firing people after they've done serious damage. Can't make up their mind what they want to do. But we have to put up with the erratic conduct and behavior. So you see what I'm saying is an erratic president has infused his cabinet with the same qualities. His cabinet and other people in his administration have imported his nastiness, his selfishness, and they think these attitudes are the equivalent of policy making. No, you're just a nasty person. Get out. You're hurting people. That makes you sick. They haven't had the capacity to even call a meeting and sit down and figure out what are the most urgent problems to solve, because probably every problem now is now urgent. They've caused every problem to be urgent, urgently needed, needing attention. We can't live this way. I mean, in our personal lives, we know there's some looseness that we got to tighten up and so forth. But we can't possibly believe that every single day there is a new crisis to deal with. And I mean crisis. They're not telling us that. That there are serious crises that need immediate attention and that could cause grievous harm to everybody. It's crazy. Which brings me to the topic today. Queen Con is selling the real, for real, really, really real, real truth about Donald Trump. Now, if you needed a laugh for the day, there you go. She's selling her new book. Of course, it does not bear the name of whoever the unlucky person is that might have actually written the book. But in customary fashion, Hillary Clinton does not share the glory. You know, she doesn't. But she is thrilled about this book. It's called What Happens. And it's supposed to tell the nasty, gory details of why she lost. There's another title for why she lost. That's another mental problem. You lost. You lost a while ago. You orchestrated the loss of a good candidate that the country certainly would have done better by. I'm talking about Bernie Sanders. I'm not a Bernie Sanders fan, by the way, just in case you wanted to know. I'm not. In my mind, he is a Jacksonite, as in Jesse Jackson. The real story here is how a bona fide crook, I mean, really benefited as a white woman. As a white woman, she went for it, for gangster politics all the way, and got away with it. She's talking about woman power and raising the question now, because she's got to find some way to make a living. And it's so, she's so tainted, but she gets away with it. And they want to convince people like you and me that racism had nothing to do with this. Everything that Hillary Clinton does, you know, and I don't understand how people can't see it. I don't understand how people continue to look to and look at Hillary Clinton as a viable and brilliant example of what young girls ought to aspire to? Absolutely not. She's vicious, dishonest, has absolutely no morals, and she has a husband who mirrors those qualities exactly. I call them the Bonnie and Clyde of politics. But when women, the feminist group in particularly, ought to be on record as denouncing these qualities in a woman who has inflicted untold pain all over the world, especially in countries of color, this should be the example that people should lift up and say, don't do this, don't be like this, don't become this. She should be a pariah. But the same people who say how much they value democracy and this and that and the next conveniently get amnesia when it comes to Hillary Clinton. I have yet to see a credible, not even, let's say, a dozen women who organize a news conference to condemn all the things this woman has done that are documented. Instead, they open the floodgates of warmth and charity and admiration and lift her up as the American example of womanhood. Well, you can take that and take it all the way to hell, as far as I'm concerned. Nobody. All these articles we've been writing, all of these things we've been talking about on the radio. And by the way, you would think this would include the victims of her policy and her husband's policy, but they don't say anything. She is to be exempted. Why? She's a white woman in America. The ultimate achievement. Never mind the fact that there are many, many broken necks out there and broken legs. She has been a carnivorous candidate. And as long as it's for her, as long as she benefits, bring me the money and then disappear. And you see, this is one of the things that we've got to stop. Or if we don't stop it, we ought to call ourselves out, and or if we don't have the courage to do that, certainly call the villains out. The politics of this country is thoroughly infected with gangsters. These are not people who really want to do well by the people. They're just out and out gangsters. And when you look at their career, the whole thing is just to avoid getting arrested, just to avoid getting found out. And even in the discussions we have had, you see that they show up time and time and time again in all various issues that we have been talking about. They show up like a bad penny. And yet we say we have a competent attorney general. Really? Eric Holder? You are a competent attorney general, and you were a competent attorney general? Well, that is interesting. What did you produce? Let's take the record. What results did you produce in Ferguson, Missouri? And that's just a small part of it. I'm tired of the charades. We ought to call it as it is. And we ought to get some guts and go after them. Expose their collaboration with a system that has at front and center of its concern the annihilation of people. Not protection, annihilate them. You've got your house, you got your nice car, you have your dog and your white picket fence. You're good. So everything else could go to hell. You mean to tell me that we seriously have justice on our minds? And we have dispensing that justice, people like Mr. Sessions, people like Eric Holder. We can't be serious. We're not serious about our own interests. These are polluted people. We expect, this is the anomaly here. We know who they are. We know what they have done. And still, we place them in positions of continual control. Something is wrong with us. We need an intervention. We need to have our brains examined. These problems that we are suffering daily apparently are not serious enough, not immediate enough for us to get very resolute about. They are taking us for one hell of a ride. And we know it. And they know we know it. And we have the black bourgeoisie. They don't really qualify as bourgeoisie. You have to have money. They don't have it. They can't wait to be invited to the next luncheon. They can't wait to join the rest of their ilk in Martha's Vineyard. They can't wait till the government asks for a bigger portion of their taxes to go to Djibouti and kill people over there. Or to go to Haiti and kill some more children. You don't want to know what Hillary Clinton has done and her husband and her daughter. It's a family affair, a family of crooks. We know they are. We are so incompetent that no legitimate inquiry has yet been done on that. $10 billion, and that's just one of her projects, unquote. You see, people are playing games with themselves. I am so fed up with the Let's go at him. Oh, no, hold me back because, you know, I have to contain myself. You're either fighting for yourself or you're not. There's no halfway here. You're either committed to struggle or you're not. If you're not, it's okay. Just get out of my way and just stop saying these stupid things that are also untrue. That's where we are. even our organizations, as imperfect as they have been, have at least been conscious enough to be, to try to be useful. Be useful. Be present. Be responsible. I mean, look at the history. Black folks, Latinos, Native Americans, decent folk all over the country have put up with so much suffering from successive white administrations. And that includes Barack Obama's, because he has been the substitute white. And we can't get even a small thing solved. We can't get changes in education law. We can't get healthcare changes. We can't get certain things done as basics, basics. This is disgraceful. And I'm saying, I don't want any part of it. I don't want any part of it. The system is irrevocably polluted. The American party system is an organized criminal entity. I don't know how we could find a decent one in there. I don't know that they have the right to demand respect. And worse, I don't know how we can demand respect of ourselves. We've let this stuff go on. We point to the politicians, but you know it's a crooked institution. We leave it up to them to figure out what we are going to do. And then we get very angry when they do what we expected them to do and predicted them to do in the first place. So who is really crazy here? Is Donald Trump so powerful that nobody could stand up and say, look, we're going to out you? Is Hillary Clinton so immune to prosecution that for more than a decade now, nobody has been able to put her where she belongs? She belongs not in jail, but under it, just to make sure. We are weak. And we are self-betraying. We have finally reached a point where we are jokes. We're jokes. Have you heard anything from Bernie Sanders that sounds like outrage lately? No, he has tamed himself because they've tamed him. He has become the Jesse Jackson. Jesse Jackson was beaten into submission and he loved it. And by accepting that kind of perpetual beating, the system inflicted even more wounds on his constituency. Bernie Sanders had all these millions of votes stolen from him, coming from mostly black, Latino, and middle-income whites, and working college students and the like. Where is he now? What is he saying precisely at this time? What is he doing at this time? still talking about the bankers and the same people who have been feeding his candidacy. And nobody would say anything about it. Because, you know, he's progressive. Progressive, my eye. The unions, that should be one of the most vibrant parts here of guiding the country. They have to take not just leadership, they have to take on the role of guidance. But they're getting their little thing done over here and over there. They have neither the temperament nor the courage to be union leaders. The black elected officials and the Latino elected officials, you could forget about that. They have no power. And they like it that way. Because to have power, you got to work. You got to work at it. You don't get power sitting on your nice plush chair with a tall back in your office, your air-conditioned office. You've got to be out there in the street, at least often enough so that people know there is a fight going on. There's no fight. There is maximum surrender. They have no guts. They have guts on when you read their press releases. But I'm talking about facing down the impediments to progress, the crimes that have been committed openly, because people no longer are afraid. They have accepted the immunity from punishment. They have embraced it to the point where, look, they know they can do practically anything, even be found guilty, and still continue. So, I'm so angry and livid about it. Years ago, and I admit to it, and I don't deny the fact that much of my anger has to do with the unnecessary suffering of people because the system is run by crooks to the extent that the system is thoroughly crooked. The people who should be fighting for us, they have cowered in a corner somewhere. But, you know, you can see them at the next church breakfast. And you can see them at social gatherings. But you have a situation in Flint where children's lives, their entire lives, have been changed by lead and other poisons, and they've known about it for at least 6 or 7 years. They have been living with a death sentence. For which black organization is this a disaster and a top priority? For which government, local, state, or federal, is this a priority? Now, they could talk neatly and nicely about, well, you know, they're working at the lead poisoning issue. You could call it that and translate that to mean, well, it's a political problem, but we're working on it. For people like me, We're talking about a death sentence that has been imposed on thousands of children. We know it. We've had to find out for ourselves. The people have had to find out for ourselves. Now, which community is supposed to accept that as normal? This is, something is wrong. The government is telling us in so many ways, you're really not worth as much as you think. Yes, we'll get to it. We'll get to it. But you know, you have to have all of this stuff to prove that this is in fact true. So I think we ought to draw the line at some point. But when we say that, people would nod their heads in agreement. Yes, yes, it's very bad. And do absolutely nothing. Nothing. And then return to a do-nothing government, looking for help, looking for answers, looking for resolution. We're crazy. And then you're saying, or you're the resistance. Where is it? Have you seen the resistance lately? Is the number to call to share your thoughts after the short break. You're listening to PRN-FM, and you're listening to Lead Stories on PRN.FM. I'm Eutrice Lead. We're talking about getting serious. We've been talking about this, and I'm saying today, I'm fed up of talking. And when I get this way, I just go crazy, because there's no reason for us to run and hide and to cut corners when our people all across the country, it includes everybody, suffering. They are people. And they continue to suffer. I mean, I went to the supermarket, and there's an older woman picking through the, you know, in the produce section, the loose leaves of lettuce and the portions of tomatoes that she can save for herself. I got so angry about that. Why should somebody have to do that in order to live, in order to have something to eat? And we keep talking about the bounty of the United States and how the safety net and all the other trash that they hurl at us. You explain that to that woman who's looking for the edible half of a rotting tomato? Really? We consider this American? And we take the attitude collectively, well, I'm so sorry that she had to do that, but, you know, maybe she didn't take advantage of opportunities that she had. So we we blame the victim for their troubles. Everybody. I was the only one that it seemed to be bothered by it. Because the values also have changed. It would have bothered people who had values. Not too long ago, it would have, that sight would have troubled people greatly. They just couldn't get through the rest of the day after seeing something like that. E from Edgewater, you're on the air.
Hi, Idris. Thanks for taking the call.
Thank you for calling. What's on your mind today? What's your reaction?
Well, there's not much time, but I have to agree with a lot that you said so far today and the other days. And, you know, I think this is all happening on purpose by design, and they want to keep us in fear. And they got to, you know, the people that like the Democratic side, they want Trump to be crazy, and there's a possibility he might get impeached. That gives them hope to quell their fears. And then on the other side, when Trump makes a rebound and does, that gives them hope that he's staying in there and their man is in there. But I want to get to a point. It's about we have a control of what we put into our bodies, the food that we put in, and we know already that eating meat and dairy products and sugar causing all our illnesses and problems that we have, and we have the power because we decide what we put into our bodies day by day. And we've been tricked into believing we need breakfast, lunch, and dinner every day, fill our bodies with all this crap that we keep eating. And we're not taking advantage of the fact that Gary Null and people like Gary Null, Dr. Sebi, they provided ways for us to learn, and we're not doing it. And this is why we're all confused and scared and acting like little kids running around in circles, and we need some drugs to calm us down. You know, that's just one facet of things. So I'll leave it there.
Okay, thank you. Thanks for calling and starting us off today. Thank you. Nasheed, you're on the air.
Hello, Lashid Chief.
Hello.
How are you doing?
I'm hanging in. How about you?
All right. I heard last night that what the unemployment in the United States is 37.2.
Well, it depends on which part of the book, the little booklet that they put out every month, the Bureau of Labor Statistics. They give you one set of statistics at the front part of the book, but they practice Jim Crow. But because they put some other statistics that you really need to know at the back of the book. So they may say, and the media will dutifully report, that the unemployment rate is 5%, let's say, 4.7%.
Uh-huh.
Well, they mean for whites working. That's what is missing from that statistics. But when you go to the back of the book, which is where you always need to go, they put the segregate those statistics at the back of the book, you would see something that you say, nah, my eyes are fooling me. You would see statistics like 68% for young employable teens, meaning they don't have any jobs.
Right.
But they would not highlight, which is what a crisis is. The crisis is in the figures at the back of the book.
Mm-hmm. I understand your outrage because we're looking at, and when you talk to certain people that might be younger than you, they missed 40 or 50 years of what really happened. So then they tell you you're old school.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
that's okay. Old school is good.
I mean, see, if you just take some young people in the street, you might play some Yusuf Lateef or something like that. They won't even know who you're talking about. They don't even know what's happening. I mean, so our I'm in Westchester, so I'm from Poughkeepsie all the way down to Yonkers and on into the city. They have decimated the so-called minorities.
Well, and they've decimated all kinds of programs that would help socialize, which is what every society needs. You deliberately cut out the music programs. How is a young person in school going to learn about Yusuf Lateef and what I just played here, Chucho Valdez? How are you going to learn that?
Right.
When they cut the music programs, what was the reaction?
None.
There you go.
We had a program. I mean, and I don't want to. We had a program, and we had the board, the education guy come down from Albany. We was trying to change the curriculum. This is back a few years. The people I knew lived around the corner and everything. They was at this meeting, and they said they don't speak for us. I said, what do you want? You don't want your own kids to learn about or have some semblance of what we went through, and so forth and so on. I mean, so I understand, you know, your rage, because I mean it's deep out here. Because when you walk down the street and you just see people on canes and they're on these electric cars, they're doing everything, or they're just sitting around. And this, and I'm in a small town, so I'm saying we're in a crisis. And so, I mean, that's all I have to say, really, to tell you the truth, because we're just in a crisis, and nobody wants to talk or deal with it. So,
well, this is the thing. Here's the choice that they have right now. Deal with it or die. That's the choice. I'm not exaggerating. Your children are going to be uneducated and will have very few employment prospects. Your communities are already on the way down, significantly on the way down. There's no employment.
Nope.
When you have, you know what would happen in the white world? If unemployment was 60%? Do you know what kind of serious warfare would be going on? They will not tolerate that. But we have come to accept it because our leadership accepts it. And our leadership fights us when we say this is unacceptable. And then we don't ourselves have the fortitude to put in place our own system. We just don't.
Right.
And I'm not blaming. I'm saying these are the facts.
Right.
Everybody is poor. Where's the money going to come from? And yet they squeeze it out of the poor to give to the rich. The people in Westchester and the suburbs, and they are not arguing about the quality of education. They don't believe they ought to because they're paying taxes and they get exactly what they want.
Right.
They have music programs. You should see if you really want to experience pain, nobody should want it. Look at the pictures of Detroit. The schools in Detroit, when they looked like grand theaters. They built them so that the auditorium mimics the highest aspirations of the arts. Detroit was the soul, pardon the pun, but it was the soul of our culture. If you look at a picture of a Detroit school, say over the last 10 years, you better have a box of Kleenex nearby. You'd be crying. And this is how people are eviscerated. They ask you to choose between music programs and math programs, neither of which they're prepared to offer.
I think somebody did an analogy between Detroit and Puerto Rico. The same thing is going on.
Well, Puerto Rico has already been sold. Yeah. Puerto Rico has been sold.
Right. They're snatching up everything.
Puerto Rico has been sold. Puerto Rico is beyond being a colony right now. It is just a contiguous amount of real estate. That's all it is. And right now, as we speak, the judge already had a meeting to figure out who wants what, how much are they prepared to pay, and then they're preparing for the auction of the entire island.
Mm-hmm.
Puerto Rico is just real estate. They took it. Not one person, not one Puerto Rican or Latino in Congress finds this objectionable. They used to use Vieques just off of the island of Puerto Rico for target practice by the military. Imagine that. Your whole island is being shelled morning, evening, night. That's what they think your island is worth. But now it's worse. They just it's laden with debt. And debt is money. Wall Street loves debt. They make a lot of money. They buy the debt cheap enough. They sell it for as high as they can. And then the real estate companies will come in, and Puerto Rico will be just a wonderful, wonderful island for those who could afford it. And most of the people living there now will not be able to afford it. So they actually moved beyond talking about the vulturism into making it real. The island is now turned over to the vultures.
Mm-hmm.
So, but where is the protest here and the action? Here in the United States, we're in trouble. This is what I'm saying. We are in trouble. And it's reached a point where if you really want to see how America is defining a new version of multiculturalism, you could look at the vultures who are feeding off of the carcasses that they created. There are all kinds of people buying up the debt. You would never believe it. People from China, people from Switzerland, people from Israel, people from all over the place buying up Puerto Rico's debt for cheap. That's the plan. And not a single Puerto Rican will be able to afford living in his own country. And New York City, where we have at least some kind of a semblance of Puerto Rican leadership. Hello? Yeah. When I reported months ago that the sale was on, Puerto Rico was for sale in the courts. The federal court, and there was a meeting, a second meeting, in Manhattan, getting ready to design the sale of Puerto Rico, which is to say its land. Serious business. Good to hear from you, and please do pass the word that this is the station you listen to, you choose to listen to, because it pays attention to what is important to you. Thanks a lot for calling in today.
Thank you.
I want to thank you all for being so interested in these things, because as time goes by, fewer and fewer people are interested. And more than that, fewer and fewer people are actively resisting. This is the problem. This is part of the problem. But it is, and we have to admit, these are our failures. And to make ourselves feel a little bit better, we say somebody else caused it. Well, okay, somebody else might have caused this to happen or that to happen. But bottom line is, you take possession of that which is valuable. I just said Puerto Rico is for sale. And they're already at it, divvying up the land. This should startle every living being, but especially Puerto Ricans. This is your country. Your country is for sale. And big guns, many of them in government trying to hide the strings to the gangsters, they love the idea that now they can get this house or that piece of land for cheap for themselves. But you will know the wrath of this whole thing when we see Puerto Ricans by the thousands and tens of thousands on the street. No home. Their culture lost, their livelihoods lost, their way of life lost. This is how it happens when we refuse to own up to our responsibilities. Well, that brings us to the end of the program. Stay tuned. Coming up next, Eric Davis with Expanding Mind. A great program. I want us to really take this thing on and really examine ways in which we are lending to our own misery. We're aiding and abetting and accelerating our own misery by not confronting these contradictions. We have to point these things out everywhere that Hillary and Bill go. They should meet some very unfriendly people. Because what they have done for several years is so criminal, so inhumane. And they have no consciences about it. Thanks for listening. And thank you for passing the word. And thank you for doing what you can in your own way. And with your own effort to turn things around. These folks who are in office are not inclined to do it. And they have demonstrated that above and beyond proof over and over again. See you tomorrow. Bye-bye.